Take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy 33, fifth book of the Bible. This teaching is just about God. It's not about anything we do, but it's just to get an understanding a little bit of God and how he sees things, and it probably will lead into some other teachings. I started doing another teaching, had it all done, and I didn't like it. I don't think God liked it. And so I prayed, and I got into something here that was a lot bigger than I thought, and I'm just scratching the surface. So, God has given us eternal life, right? Which is sometimes called everlasting life. The words everlasting in the Bible and the word eternal are the same words, and they have to do with the word ion or eon, which means ages or generations. In English, we think of eons as, you know, many, many thousands or millions of years. In Greek, it doesn't necessarily mean that. It means ages or generations. But anyway, eternal life is from that word, and everlasting life. And because God is eternal, he can give us eternal life because he has the power. Because he is eternal and limitless, he can give us eternal life. If he wasn't eternal, he couldn't give us eternal life, could he? No, that makes sense. So in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27, and of course this is written to Israel, but it is true of us to a degree and even more so. It says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them." You know, he is our refuge, and he is an eternal refuge. He doesn't run out of strength. He doesn't run out of power. He doesn't run out of ideas or ways or anything else. He's eternal. And he is our refuge, and we can find rest in his everlasting arms. His arms are everlasting. How about that? You know, he's an eternal God, therefore everything about him is eternal. His arms are everlasting. You know, you could get an insurance policy, but it could run out. Or the insurance company could go bankrupt, and all that money you put into it would be gone. If you're getting close to that age where you're going to receive Social Security, you know, it's great, except, you know, the government could run out of money, couldn't they? Mm-hmm. And that would be the end of that. Let's go to John chapter 3. But God is not going to run out. God is not going to go bankrupt. God is not going to go belly up. He is eternal and everlasting. You're all familiar with this section. Speaking of Jesus Christ in verse 15 of chapter 3, it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, or eternal life. And that "but" is an emphatic contrast. Those that believe in Jesus Christ will not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, if we live, our physical life may end for a period of time, right? But God calls it sleep. It is temporary. You know, those that are left behind, you know, we're sad because we miss people. We don't want them to fall asleep. But when Christ comes back, we're all going to be raised or changed, then we're going to meet the Lord in the air, and we're going to be with him. So we're going to have eternal life or everlasting life. "For God so loved the world," and that's pretty important, isn't it? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The way we got everlasting life, The way that God made it available to us was because he gave his son. His son paid the full and ultimate and complete price for our sin nature and for sins so that we could have eternal life, so that we could be worthy of eternal life. You know, we sang the song Unworthy, but that song is to show the contrast of where we came from and what we have. And it wasn't because of what we did, it was because of what God did and what his son, Jesus Christ, did. So God can only give what he has to give. He is the all-powerful God, El Shaddai. It says in the Old Testament, El standing for Elohim, and Shaddai meaning powerful, all-powerful God. He is the creator of all, which is Elohim. He is the creator of all. He created everything. You know, when we give of our abundance or we have possessions and materials, we should always remember that it's really not ours. It's God's. The air we breathe is really God's. He gave it to us. The food we eat is because of God's grace and abundance. You know, everything is from God. He is the eternal God, and only he can, or who he appoints, can give eternity or eternal things. You know, it's kind of interesting. God made the earth. I thought about this a lot. You know, do you ever think about, you learn when you're in school, I guess, the cycle of water, right? The oceans and the rivers and the streams evaporate up, and then they gather in clouds, and then it rains, right? And it rains on the earth, and the earth uses the water to take care of the plants and the trees and all that stuff. But then some of the water goes down through the earth and it filters out, doesn't it? And it filters the water and it goes into the streams and rivers, goes back to the ocean, it evaporates and rains. We never run out of water, do we? You know, some places on earth may run out of water, but the earth as a whole will never run out of water. And it takes the amount of water that there is for it to keep going. We never run out of air. Why? Well, because God made the plants so that they take the carbon dioxide and monoxide that we breathe or emitted by animals and the use of air and oxygen, and the plants absorb it, and they use the carbon to build their structures, their wood, their pulp, their leaves, their whatever, their roots, and then they expel the oxygen. And so it keeps renewing the oxygen. So God made the earth so it has perpetual renewing of the air and water, which are the two basic things we need for life. It's pretty cool, isn't it? Only God could figure that out. Man could never do it on his own, because he can only take what God's given him and adapt it and use it. Whatever man makes, whatever man manufactures, whatever man does, will wear out, will break down, will be used up. And it has to be renewed or remade or remanufactured. So, and the other thing is that God is eternal. He never runs out. He's forever the same. He never changes. He's always loving. He's always merciful. He's always kind. And he never runs out of that love. He never runs out of mercy. He never runs out of his grace. You know, he has an unlimited supply of those things. And anything that we might need that he promises us, he has an unlimited supply. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 17. This is an incredibly great verse, which pretty much most verses in the Bible are pretty incredible and great. But Hebrews, James, chapter 1, verse 17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And when it says that, it's referring to God, who is from above. That's where he resides. And cometh down from the Father of lights. That's referring to God, the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He never varies. He never changes. You know, we change, don't we? We are not always the same. We don't always stay the course. We're not always perfect. We're not always loving. Except for my wife. She, according to her, she's perfect and always loving. Just kidding. But God is perfect and he doesn't change. He doesn't vary at all. Not in the minutest bit. He's always the same. Let's go to Malachi, last book of the Old Testament, right before Matthew. Malachi. So he is the father of lights, and in him is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. He could have just said, I don't ever change. But he made it a little more flowery and beautiful. There's no variableness or shadow of turning. In chapter 3 of Malachi, verse 6, it says, For I am the Lord, and the word Lord there is Jehovah, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You know, that is talking to Israel, and Israel turned their back on God. Sometimes he refers to him as Jacob, which is not in a positive sense. When he refers to him as Israel, it's in a positive sense. When he refers to him as Jacob, it's not in such a positive sense. He said, but because I change not, you're not consumed. You know, you're not done away with. You're not destroyed. Let's go to Psalm 10. You know, I don't know about you, but I think about how God is unchangeable. I think about how God is eternal. I think about how God always does what he says he's going to do. And to me, that's comforting. Yeah. Because you ever deal with people and sometimes you don't know from one day to the next who's going to show up? Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde? I don't know. That's what I feel like when I play golf. You never know who's going to show up. It's usually Mr. Hyde. It's ugly. But, you know, you ever deal with that sometimes? You know, you ever have a boss? You know, one day he's the greatest guy on the face of the earth. The next day, you just want to just slit your throat. God's not like that, is he? God's always loving. God's always listening. God's always kind. God's always there for us. Psalm 10, verse 16. It says, The Lord is King forever and ever. Wow, how about that? The Lord is King. That means he's in charge. For how long?
Forever and ever.
Forever and ever. Ever and ever is ever and ever. Eternity. Everlasting. Never ending. You know, every 4 years we elect a president. Essentially, every 4 years, we get a new government. And sometimes we're really thankful that it happens every 4 years.
Yeah.
And sometimes we wish a guy could go on for, you know, longer. I remember, you know, I'm sure many of you learned, if you didn't, George Washington, you know, he could have stayed elected president for the rest of his life. He refused. He didn't think that was a good thing. But it is a good thing that God is king forever and ever. You know, that he's in charge. Let's go to Exodus. Book of Exodus, chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 18. This is a real quick one. It says, The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Well, if he's king forever and ever, then he has to reign forever and ever, doesn't he? It means he has dominion, authority, power. Everything is beneath him. Sometimes you read in the Word of God and it says, I am the Lord God of hosts. You know what that means? That means that God has power and dominion over everything and everybody else. Right. Hosts usually can refer to army, like the host of Pharaoh. Sometimes it talks about the host of Israel. Sometimes it talks about the host of heaven, which means the stars, which the people worshipped as gods. You know, and so he says, I'm the Lord of hosts. Meaning all those different hosts, he's above. He's the Lord of hosts. He's above them all. Pretty cool. So it says here, the Lord Jehovah shall reign forever and ever. It's never going to end. Pretty great. Let's go back to Psalms, and we're going to go to Psalm 111. So if you want to study this on your own sometime, just look up eternity, look up everlasting, and then look up ever. And then you'll be deluged by places where ever and ever and everlasting and all that stuff or forever are used, because there's, you know, almost a whole page of stuff. Psalm 111, verse 7. It says, the works of his hands, referring to God, the works of his hands are verity and judgment. Verity means truth. Sometimes we talk about the eternal verities, the eternal truths. So his works are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever. So his truth, his judgments, his commandments are sure, and they last forever. You know, our laws, our judgments, don't last forever. They change. Many times you hear about people, and you know, if you watch the news, they're going to repeal a law. Sometimes they make a law, and it's for a certain particular problem or situation. And then that situation changes or circumstances change, and they have to repeal the law because then it is counterproductive. Sometimes counterproductive from the minute they make it. And then they have to change it. Many laws change over a period. You know, when we first established the country, if you didn't own land, you couldn't vote. And then they changed it. They repealed that. They changed it and they made it so that every citizen could vote. And so on and so forth. It used to have to be 21 to vote. Then they changed that and made it 18. I think you should make it 25. But, who am I? They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. You know, when God makes a covenant, you know, he may put restrictions on it, or he may put conditions on it. But as far as God's concerned, it's forever. The conditions are for people. You know, he said to Abraham, you know, if you do this, I'll be your God forever. And Abraham did it, and he was his God forever. But then there were other people, like Rehoboam, I think, in the Old Testament. He's the first king of Israel, or one of the first kings. And God said, I'll establish your throne forever as long as you do my law and keep my commandments. And Rehoboam said, great. And then he turned right around and did what he wanted. And that was the end of that. But from God's point of view, his commandments and his covenants are forever. When he says it, he's willing to do it and keep his word. Pretty great. Holy and reverend is thy name, is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. You know, he is forever. His commandments are forever. His word standeth sure. His judgments are sure and stand fast forever. Whatever God does, he does it, and it is established. It's not going to change. except where people cause change. But as far as God's concerned, he stands by what he says. Unless he says, this is what I'm going to do for a certain amount of time. And then, you know, that's what he does. Let's go to Psalm 33. It's one of my favorite little things here in Psalms. I love this section. We're starting verse 8. And, you know, if you read and study the fear of the Lord, which means awe and respect, here it defines it. And says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the earth stand in awe of him. You know, that's what we are to do. We're to be have great respect for God, or to stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. When it says it stood fast, what does that mean? It stood fast. It didn't move. It didn't change. It didn't mutate. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Wow, isn't that great? The thought of his heart to all generations. You know, God's heart, God's desire is to all men. You know, whether it's Jew, Gentile, the Church of God. He wants all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. He desires and loves all people. It says, for God so loved the world. Well, he loved the world. He didn't just love Israel. He didn't just love certain people, but he loved everybody so much that he sent his son to make salvation and eternal life available to all people. What a great God. So God is eternal and his word is eternal. It's forever and ever. He reigns forever through all eternity. He will always be a king, the king, and his kingdom has no end. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. So, it's pretty amazing what God has given us. And most of the things that God has given us, or many of the things that God has given us, are eternal. And he tells us that we should be more focused and more concentrated, more aware of the eternal things than the temporal things. Okay? So 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. You know, all that God's done is for our sake. For which cause we faint not. You know, we don't get tired. We don't cave in. We don't wear out. We don't give up. But though our outward man perish, that means corrupt or decay or grow old. Does your outward man grow old?
Yep.
Yeah, unfortunately it does. But what does it say? Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The inward man. Your spiritual life is renewed day by day. Your inward man is renewed. It never grows old. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, that means our life. Our life is but a light from God's point of view. You know, sometimes we think that we're bearing the burdens of the world on our shoulders. Sometimes we think nobody's had it tougher than me. You know, generally speaking, for all of us, you know. You ever feel like, well, you know, nobody's ever had it worse than me. Nobody's ever had to deal with this like I have. It's not true. Everybody goes through basically the same stuff. We all live in the same world. We have the same pressures. We have the same things to deal with. Some people deal with it better than others, that's all. And that's what you have to learn to do. You have to deal with it. Because we all have the pressures. We all feel rejected at times. We all feel unloved at times. We all feel that we're put upon unreasonably at times. But you know what? That's just life. That's just life. And God says we are renewed day by day. And your strength comes from God. Your strength comes from looking to Him and realizing and putting things in perspective. We're going to live forever. This is just a blink of an eye, this life. It's our light affliction. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to think in God's terms. This is our light affliction. The governments may change. There may be famines. There may be depressions. There may be this. There may be that. But you know what? God's people have lived through those things for thousands of years, and God's people, when they look to God and believe Him, have prospered and lived abundantly and more abundantly, regardless of situations, regardless of circumstances, regardless of governments, regardless of wars, regardless of whatever else is going on, whatever is the fad of the month. You know, and the world is full of fads and things that are popular and, oh, this is cool, and this is great, and this is going to happen. And you know what? Man keeps coming up with the same old things over and over. Read history. Man has never changed. And there's no new ideas. It says so in Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing. And so every time these guys come up and they say, I got the answer for this, and I got the answer for that, they're full of baloney. The only real answer is God. You know, now they may come up with a vaccine to cure or prevent some disease. But you know what? God made that available.
Right.
God designed it. And when man taps into what God has designed, he looks pretty good. But let's remember, it's God that designed everything. And so God's underneath all good things come from the Father of lights. Okay, so it's our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In Romans it says that the things of this earth, of this life, the sufferings of this life, are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. Wow. You know, you think about that, just think about that all day long, you can't help but smile. While we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what?
Temporary.
Temporal. That means what? Temporary. Fleeting. But the things which are not seen are eternal. The things of God are eternal. Spiritual things are eternal. Pretty great. Pretty amazing. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7. Wow. This is taking a long time. Chapter 7, verse 19. This is speaking concerning Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. And it says, for the law, speaking of the Old Testament law, the Mosaic law, made nothing perfect, but the bringing of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. That better hope is Jesus Christ. You know, by our own fleshly works, we can't perfect ourselves. You ever try to perfect your body? Work out? Watch what you eat? You know, it doesn't really happen. Or if it does, it doesn't last. You know, you stop working out, you stop eating the right stuff, 2 weeks later, it starts to deteriorate. There it is. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest, speaking of Jesus Christ. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, that's God, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was the priest of the Old Testament who came to talk to Abraham, and Abraham gave a tithe. And it says that he was a priest and king, and he had no beginning and no end. There's no history of where he came from, and there's no history of him dying or whatever happened to him. And so Jesus Christ is called the king or the priest after the order of Melchizedek, meaning he is a priest forever. He has no beginning and no end. And he made the perfect sacrifice, and therefore he is the priest forever. You know, the normal priests, well, I'll probably read on here, the normal priests had to make sacrifices every year, every month, every week, every day for stuff. Jesus Christ made one sacrifice, and that sacrifice was so good, so all-inclusive, so perfect, so far-reaching, that he is a priest forever and he never has to make another sacrifice. Imagine if you only had to fill your car up with gas once. Pretty crazy. You know, God can do stuff like, think about this. God had made everything, right? Man tapped into the energy in an atom. They can run a aircraft carrier. You know how big an aircraft carrier is? It's ridiculously. Reagan, President Reagan, is 20 stories above the water line. 20 stories. 200 feet above the water. Then it's, you know, I don't know how much below the water. You know, its crew is like 5,000 people. That's a city. That's a city. And it runs, and I can't remember how long they run, but about the size of a soccer ball is the size of plutonium that runs that ship, and I think it'll run on that ball of plutonium for like 10 years. And we have to fill up our gas tank every couple of days or every week.
Yeah, I want the plutonium.
Pretty crazy when you think about it. Well, what does God run the universe on? I don't know, but he runs it.
On his power.
Jesus Christ made the perfect sacrifice. It never runs out. Its power, its authority, its effectiveness is forever. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. He's the guarantee of a better testament, a better covenant, a better agreement between us and God. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, Jesus Christ, because he continued ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Who gave him that unchangeable priesthood? God, his Father. It's eternal. It's unchangeable. It's forever. Wherefore, because he is able to save them to the utmost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So he is able to save them to the uttermost, totally, completely, eternally, forever, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth, he lives forever, and he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He continually, from now till the end of time, makes intercession for them who come to God by him, which means us, those who believe. Wow. Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice once for his own sins and then for the people's, for this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity or weakness, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Forevermore is how long?
Forevermore.
Forevermore. How amazing.
Yeah.
Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. You know, by grace God gave us eternal life, and it is a gift of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, speaking of the return, well, let's start from verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you saw or not. God doesn't want us to be stupid, ignorant, not know. Those that are asleep are those that have passed away, have died, but he uses the word asleep. It's a euphemism. It's a figure of speech. It's an exchange of a soft phrase or word for a hard word. It softens it, and it reveals a greater truth. The truth is, it's temporary. Sleep is temporary, right? So you sleep for 8 hours, you sleep for 8 years, you sleep for 800 years, doesn't matter. God's going to raise you up. And the next moment, you fall asleep, the next moment, you know, it's morning. The sun is shining. So, sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, which we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. How long?
Forever.
Ever. Because God is forever and his promises are forever. And he says that we have eternal life and will ever be with the Lord. It's forever. Pretty great. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thessalonians, Timothy, 2 Timothy. Bless you. Verse 10, chapter 2, verse 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. It's, you know, Paul talking, and by revelation he says, I endure all things for the elect's sake, for the born-again believers' sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. God has given us eternal glory. How about that? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Go back a couple of pages to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 16, chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. He has given us everlasting consolation. That means everlasting, forever and ever, eternal consolation, comfort, encouragement. How about that? It says in Hebrews, he gave us eternal salvation, eternal redemption, and an eternal inheritance. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Remember we read in chapter 4 where it says we have a light affliction which is but for a moment working for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory? While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Verse 1 of chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We have an eternal home in the heavens. You know, if our house is dissolved, meaning, you know, we die, we fall asleep. But we have an eternal house in the heavens. Pretty cool, huh? For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, or that body which is from heaven, which is a perfect body, a new body, a body that will never deteriorate, never die, never get sick. I can't wait for that one. And let's go to Psalm 119. And we'll close it up. Psalm 119, verse 142. I was going to read this whole section, but we just need to read the last three verses. It says, verse 142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. You know, it's we read early, right in the beginning, God never changes. He's without variableness, without any shadow of turning. It says his righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. God is always righteous. He's always right. He never makes a wrong decision. He never makes a wrong judgment. He's always righteous. And he has made us righteous, and we have the righteousness of God in us. Right? We are made the righteousness of God. His righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. You know, so if you have anguish and trouble, God's prescription, his commandments should be your delights. Verse 144, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. God doesn't want us just to exist. He wants us to live. He wants to just live to the fullest. So God is an everlasting God. He's a God that never changes. He's a God that loves us with an everlasting love. He's going to reign forever, and we're going to ever be with the Lord. And he's given us everlasting glory and an eternal salvation and eternal glory. Pretty great. So God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for how much you've done for us. We thank you that we can dwell and think on these things, that they can abide in our hearts, that we can just look to you, that we don't look on the temporary things of the world and get shaken or discouraged or anything else, but we just look to you and the promises that you've given, and that we have all eternity to be with you, and that eternity is going to just be incredible and awesome, and we can't even imagine. But God, I know that as we look to you and we think about you and your Son Jesus Christ, and we keep your word in our hearts and our minds, that you can just reveal things to us and show us to encourage us and bless us. So we just thank you for these things. We thank you for that eternal consolation and comfort. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
He said,
yeah.